Hello and welcome to episode 257 of Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. And once again, we're bringing it back to the OG roots from when this program was audio only. How are you? I hope you're well. I hope you're doing A-okay. You look fantastic. So, a little bit of an update on the computational device that I use for this show. I got it back from the shop yesterday. That was a Tuesday, and I had a very busy Tuesday, and then I got home from work today, did my writing, and didn't really have time to fiddle with it, so I can't really see if anything that was done correctly, and if the problem has been fixed. A big problem was the fan, which I already knew, and the fella at the shop told me that they fixed it, and they got two fans for the price of one, so he threw in the extra fan. And now I have two brand new fans on my laptop. He gave it a dust, hit it with a little thermal paste, and now we're tip-top magoo, as far as I know. I got to play around with it and see a couple things and move some stuff around. He gave me a note of something I can do on my own that might be able to help me save even more money. But I will. The next episode should be back to me on screen again, but this one is going to be, it's going to be more gameplay like it was last week. So let's just get into the things that I have to talk about. This comes out on the 11th, June 11th. And that's when the Xbox showcase is. And I was made aware today about the Xbox showcase and some stuff that could potentially be there. And there's a leaker, a fella named Extra, EXTRAS1STV, on Twitter, who said that there's two games, especially, that will leave people with their mouths agape. Now, I don't know who this guy is. He's made a couple of predictions in the past or leaked some things that have been true, but he's no Neville, as far as I'm aware. A lot of what I've been seeing about leaks from the showcase have just been shitty Photoshops of just stuff that, oh yeah, absolutely are going to happen. A lot of it seems like Fallout New Vegas 2, and I got a lot of this information from a Juicehead video, and he makes a really good point of, like, why would Fallout New Vegas 2 be called Fallout New Vegas 2? It would be something else. It would be, like, the Fall of Vegas, or, he doesn't say this exactly, but I'm extrapolating from what he said. It'd be, like, the Fall of Vegas, or, like, New Canaan, or something that happened after those games. Because why would it just be all of a sudden, oh, here's Fallout New Vegas 2. So some of the things that were said in this video and what I've extrapolated for it, that the Evil Within 3 is saying it's going to be there, and they just made Hi-Fi Rush, and they are making, and we just got Tokyo, Ghostwire Tokyo, so I don't think we're going to get it, but I think we might get the announcement that they're working on it. Fallout London is there, which I think is super interesting because it's a mod, like on this like one leaked photo that was associated with all these leaks and stuff that's happening. And a lot of people have said that Bethesda should hire the mod teams for these games and use them as a team to work on another game. And I don't think that's an awful idea. I just don't think it's going to be Fallout London as a whole. Because why would it be? It's so obviously not going to be a canon entry into the series. That's why I don't cover mods, because they're not canon. Like, as far as I'm concerned, they don't happen. Like, if you like them and they're fun, go have fun. I'm not going to hold that back from you. But also, remember when Frontiers introduced lizard people that you could have sex with? So, if they're making a little shorter game that's supposed to hold us over for the next decade, and it's just exactly that, it's Fallout London, it's a Fallout game that takes place in London, great, fantastic. Sure, do they hire some of the people from that team? Even better. Big fan of everything that's happening so far. But I don't think it's going to be the mod itself, especially because you can only play the mod on PC, unless they're going to have something on Xbox, but I highly doubt that. There's talk of Fable 3. Microsoft recently, Xbox recently, posted a video of the controller and them following a glitter trail, much like you do in Fable. Talk of the Indiana Jones game, which, I mean, maybe I'm just a hater, which is entirely possible. But who cares about Indiana Jones? Like, genuinely. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Like, I mean genuinely. Like, I don't know anybody who's super, super, super into Indiana Jones. I have a friend who's played the... We were talking about this at work the other day. Who's played the Lego games and that they like them a lot. But, like, outside of that, who's clamoring for more indie? Todd Howard is developing it or is a director or lead person on it. It's just, again, Giant Monster got renewed again for its legal purposes. It's a game that they've been renewing for about... since 2009. This is the fifth time that they've done it. Stalker 2 got leaked in a big bad way. They were sharing the build around the office with Torrance, but because they were doing it in that fashion, it leaked, and now there's just a fully playable torrent of Stalker 2 out there. We were supposed to get this game about a year ago, but with everything going on with the Ukrainian war, it's been severely delayed. There's also a rumor that Starfield is being updated. Its gunplay is being updated by id, and Bethesda owns id, so I don't know why they wouldn't, because id helped out with the gunplay for Fallout 4, so why wouldn't they help out here? But if so, there is a 4chan leak about it, and the 4chan leak is like, I'm connected with someone who said this. But, like, I could go on 4chan right now and just be like, I'm connected to a person who said this, and then it just happens. Like, the post is just there. It doesn't mean anything, but it's there. Like, it happened. I posted it. Somebody leaked something, but it's horseshit. So, that's everything. When this comes out, right around the same time this comes out, the Xbox showcase will happen. And next week, I'll talk about it. And I might even talk about it with Kyle, depending on what Kyle's plans are. I have to see where he is in the world. But we're hitting E3. We're hitting Summer Games. This is when all the fun stuff happens, and then you get hyped up, and there's a bunch of games that you may see in a few months or a few years or a decade. Like Dead Island that just came out. Dead Island 2 came out after like 8-9 years of development. So who knows? But I'd like to get into this week's lore. This week's lore is a piece that I really, really enjoy from a faction that's one of my favorite factions. But before I get into that, I have to talk about the Patreon. I have to thank the Patreon. Because of you guys, I can continue to make the show bigger and better. And because of you guys, my laptop is paid completely. The repairs for it were paid. I didn't have to take any money out of pocket. You guys paid for it entirely. And I thank you, because without you, I don't know what I would have done. But I have to thank some people, and starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you, Mellow Millhouse. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. So normally, I'll ask a question in form of a poll in the Patreon. But everything that's been going on with me this week, and the computer, and my plans, and work, and everything else, I haven't had a chance to really go in there. And now that I have my computer back, next week, do Patreon polls. But this week, I wanted to do something from New Vegas. And I was sitting there, and I was looking through everything from New Vegas, and I found something that I really like. I was looking through locations. It's not just something that I really, really like. It's a faction that I really, really like. And it's one of the coolest factions in the game, in my opinion, by far. And I think they're hella cool, and I love them, and I wanted to talk about them. So if you want to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, make sure you join the Patreon, because even at the $1 tier, your voice is heard in a poll where you get to choose this week's lore. This week, like I said, because of technical difficulties, I chose, and this week's lore from Fallout New Vegas, I bring to you the Old Mormon Fort. So the Old Mormon Fort, the headquarters of the followers of the Apocalypse in the Mojave in the year of 2281. Located inside Freeside's Northern Gate, the oldest building in the New Vegas area. Now, previously, it was known as the Old Las Vegas Mormon State Historic Park. A fort built by Mormon missionaries on June 14th of 1855, settled on a creek flowing from the Vegas Springs. The fort was the halfway point between Salt Lake City and Los Angeles, California. Salt Lake City, Utah, and Los Angeles, California. Now, this was a fort for the Utah War. And I'm going to read a little bit off of Wikipedia. I get all of my Fallout lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. But this is from Wikipedia, just en.wikipedia.org. The Utah War. I'm going to read this right from it because it's nuts, and I couldn't believe what I was reading because I didn't know this existed in U.S. history. Utah War, 1857 to 1858, also known as the Utah Expedition, the Utah Campaign, Buchanan's Blunder, the Mormon War, or the Mormon Rebellion, was an armed confrontation between Mormon settlers in Utah Territory and the armed forces of the U.S. government. The confrontation lasted from May of 1857 until July of 1858. There were some casualties, most of which were non-Mormon civilians. The war had no notable military bases. In 1857 to 1958, President James Buchanan sent forces to the Utah Territory in what became known as the Utah Expedition. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormons or Latter-day Saints, fearful that the large U.S. military force had been sent to annihilate them, having faced persecution in other areas, made preparations for defense. Though bloodshed was to be avoided, the U.S. government also hoped that its purpose might be attained without the loss of life. Both sides prepared for war. The Mormons manufactured and repaired firearms, turned scythes into bayonets, and brandished and sharpened long unused sabers. This is something that happened in American history that I had no clue about whatsoever shortly before the Civil War. I just didn't believe, I couldn't believe what I was reading was real. There's so much, this country is so big and we know people know next to nothing about it. Anyway, that's the background on the old Mormon fort, or the old Las Vegas Mormon State Historic Park, one of the oldest structures in New Vegas. That's the pre-war stuff. Now for the layout, the building of what it is. It being the home to the Mojave chapter of the Followers of the Apocalypse, it's an important location. They help Freeside. Freeside is, I don't know if we can technically use this word any longer or if it's considered insensitive, but it's a ghetto. I think in like the most literal of terms, it's a disenfranchised people live there. People that are destitute from gambling, people that just don't have money, people that are trying to make a way, people that are living sort of a shadier lifestyle in Freeside, the Freeside of Vegas, where there isn't guaranteed protection. It's very fend for your life and make a living there. These are humanitarians. These are people that want to help. The Followers of the Apocalypse. They want to help their fellow man. There's people that are there that have doctorates in medicine and science, and they go out and they say, how can we help the community at large? If we can fix the community here, we can fix the community outside of this. In my opinion, the Followers of the Apocalypse are the greatest faction in any Fallout game ever. They're my favorite by far. Inside of the Mormon fort are two guards with the flag right as you enter. And then they have six tents. And most of the tents are just beds, just bunk beds, sleeping bags, and wasteland decorations. And when I say wasteland decorations, I mean barrels and chairs and just things that are there to build up the atmosphere of you being in some sort of a fort, you being in some sort of an area, right? Now there's the southwestern tent where you can find Arcane Ganon. An eastern and western guardhouse that is used for the guards. They have two guards out front that rotate in and out, and the guardhouse is for them there. They have a couple of other miscellaneous buildings that you can explore and see. Julie Farkas can be found in one of them. But some of the people that live here are Abram Martimer, who is a scientist for the Followers, Arcade Ganon, everybody's favorite follower, one of the top 11 followers that you can have in-game. Beatrix Russell, a ghoul who helps guard. Ferris, someone who was attacked. A follower's doctor, a follower's guard. That's their names. Jerry the Punk, who's a con. He's part of the Great Cons, and he's also a poet. He can be found there. Julie Farkas, the head doctor in charge. Kenny Weathers, Sammy Weathers, and Mrs. Weathers. All three people that will later show up at Old Mormon Fort if they're freed from Cottonwood Cove. Their father, the abusive husband in the situation, he abandoned them during a Legion attack and said, fend for yourself. And Legion took them in as slaves. There's also Roy and Wayne, two fellas who were attacked during, or attacked by NCR, which you find out a little bit more about with G.I. Blues, the quest from the Kings. There's also the old Mormon fort where you can find the snow globe, so you can sell it to Mr. House for some cabbage. And when you first enter the old Mormon fort, you can hear the Fallout menu music from the 90s, from the original games. It's kind of hard to hear, but you can hear it. If you really, really turn up the volume and pay attention, you can hear that original, wonderful music. The Followers of the Apocalypse are a faction that I just adore. Everything about them I just love. They're fantastic, like in every sense of the word. I love what they're doing for the community. I love that they want to help and they want to build and they want to bring something up and do something bigger and better than everyone else could. They help the drug addicts. They help out the less fortunate. They do what they can. People get injured, they come there. The Followers are what should have happened after the bomb, in my opinion, should have happened after the bombs dropped. The quest for power is an evil one. And people just wanted to be in power in such a big, bad way that they didn't care about their fellow man. And the Followers very much were like, cool, everybody else needs help, and I have the capabilities, I have the facilities to do so, then I shall. And I love them, and I love that they're represented in the game. Even though it's for such a minor point, they do have a fort that you can use as a safe house that's given to you by them. You can get a Follower's robe from Julie Farkas once you hit a certain level, once you hit idolization from the other Followers. They are good. They're chaotic good. Not chaotic good. They're lawful good, excuse me. They're good for the sake of good. They're good because it's the right thing to do. I love the Followers of the Apocalypse. I learned about American history, and I learned about Fallout history in this week's lore. Hey, gang. Another short episode for you this week. Thanks for showing up at all, I have to say. Just with everything going on, like I said, with my computer, I haven't had a chance to sit down. And I went to a show. I want to tell you about this show. I went to this show this past week. I know what you're thinking. Complaining about not having money for your computer and going to a show. Well, I bought tickets to the show months ago. And I mean months ago. Like when the tour got announced. I have some friends that are very much into this band. A band that if you would have told me at like 15 I'd be going to a live show, I'd make fun of you. I'd be like, there's no way I'm doing that. The band is known. They're infamously known. They're known as the most hated band in the world. They're the Insane Clown Posse. Not something that I ever thought I'd ever want anything to do with. But I have friends that are into that. And when your friends say, yo, let's go to a show, and you've been dying to go to a show, you go to a show. And let me tell you, what an insane experience that was. Just fun for the sake of fun. So it wasn't the whole band. It was one of the guys, the one member. His name is Violent J. He did it. There were some other fellows who went. The openers were fantastic. One, I bought a pin from a guy who is apparently one of their beat makers. I had no clue it was him. And he does a bunch of art and stuff for the band. And he has a clothing brand. And I bought a pin from him that I'm going to wind up putting on not my Atomic Radio Hour hat, but my Yankee hat that I wear. I had a great time. Didn't drink. Tickets weren't super expensive. And just, we were hanging out, loud music. We were like second from the stage to the point where like I was getting high fives. And there was actually the main guy, Violent J, like I said, his name is, they had these big like garbage cans filled with ice water and cases of water. And he's throwing cases out. And I don't drink. I don't smoke. They were passing a blunt around the band that's on stage. It was the Three-Headed Monster Tour. They're handing out, smoking a blunt on stage. I also live in Colorado where you can smoke weed legally. Smoking a blunt on stage, passing the blunt around on stage, passing in the audience, like a bunch of people in the front, like four rows, just got to take a hit from this. Let me tell you, they refer to themselves as a family, the Juggalos, which are the people who listen to the Insane Clown Posse. They they consider themselves a family, and this is one of the first times I've been to a show where I didn't feel like I had to put all of my belongings in my front two pockets. Like, I could have left my wallet in my back, like, absolutely left my wallet in my back pocket. Just had a great time. Everyone was super nice. Everybody was super respectful. There was children there, which I thought was dope as hell, that they were just, their parents were fans, and then they had kids, and now the kids are fans. Like, generational, it was just super dope, right? So I'm there. I don't smoke. I don't drink, but I'm thirsty as hell. And they start throwing water bottles out. So I'm sitting there, like, sticking my hand up, like I'm trying to get the waiter's attention. And I'm like, yo, throw me a water. And I'm pointing at my friend in front of me who's quite drunk. And I'm like, water's over here. And he throws me a bottle and I miss it. Throws me another bottle, goes way over my head and I miss it. Throws me like two more. They're like hitting my hand and flying out of my hand and other people are grabbing them. And he's like looking at me and like making fun of me. The member, the Violent J, he's making fun of me. And then he throws another one at me and I miss it. Slips right. They're wet. They're completely soaked in water. Hits me right in the melon, bounces off my head, hits my friend's head behind me, throws another one at me, a real softball, throws it at me. Dude next to me snatches it, and then, like, everybody parted. And he threw the bottle, and I caught it, and I, like, put my hands together like I was praying, and I was like, thank you. And he just, like, pointed at me. It was dope. Like, I thought it was so cool that mid-show I just had, like, a conversation with the dude on stage. We're not allowed to make fun of juggalos anymore. Not allowed to make fun of people like the Insane Clown Posse. They were super nice, super cool. I had a blast. I would have never thought I would have had such a good time at a clown show. One of my friends went in makeup. It was dope. Just, you know, it was cool. Like, I have no other way to put it. Like, it's also, as a hip-hop guy, it's super cool to just see that. Like, it's cool to see a side of hip-hop. Like, I had a friend who was really into Christian trap, which is a wild statement to say out loud, that I had a friend. But like, to hear Christian trap music and be like, oh, this just sounds like the Migos, but they're, I love the Lord. I love the God. Jesus, Jesus. Like, I'm a hip-hop guy, but I've never heard that side of it. And to hear this side of it and this history of it, and they have this gathering of juggalos that happens every year for like the past 20-something years where everyone goes and meets up. Like, I feel like I was getting a history lesson on a subculture I was just not hip to whatsoever. It was cool. It was fun. I just wanted to share that story with you guys. It's really all I have for you this week. Next week, we will be back. I have every intention to be back to video. It should be a regularly scheduled episode. I have been editing on my PC that I started the show on, but this PC is not what it used to be. And I love her, and I knock on wood, and I love her very much, but she's just not what she used to be. She's a little slow. And DaVinci doesn't want to update for some reason. Like, it did, and then it did again. So next week, we will be back to the regularly scheduled stuff. Maybe Kyle will be here. I have to speak with him about the summer game stuff, the Xbox showcase. I want to get his views and thoughts and opinions on it. But up until then, I love you very much. And I'll see you next week. And I'm forgetting to do the outro. Jeez, you do one thing out of order. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. You can get all of his free music at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. But the intro song is called Feather Duster, again by Shane Ivers. In the description, there is a link to my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, the show's Twitter. Join the Discord while you're down there. Shout out to the Patreon again. Thank you for your patronage. If you'd like to hear your voice heard, if you'd like to watch the episodes get recorded live in front of a studio audience, Patreon is your way to go. I love you very much. I'll be seeing you next week. Be safe. I love you. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.